Well, good morning, everyone. If you would stand, let's grab a hymn book. Let's turn to page 381. 381. He is a wonderful Savior to me. Sing it with me.
I was lost in sin, but Jesus rescued me. He's a wonderful Savior to me. I was bound by fear, but Jesus set me free. He's a wonderful Savior to me. For He's a wonderful Savior to me. He's a wonderful Savior to me. I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me.
Amen. Sing on that second verse and then the last. On the second.
He's a friend so true, so patient and so kind. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Everything I need, in Him I always find. He's a wonderful Savior to me. For He's a wonderful Savior to me. He's a wonderful Savior to me. I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me.
On the fourth.
Dearer grows the love of Jesus day by day. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Sweeter is His grace while pressing on my way. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Savior to me. I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me.
Amen.
Amen. Sure thankful for the day He took me in. Cleansed my heart, forgave me of sin, gave me a whole brand new life. Amen. Thank you. He is a wonderful Savior to me. Hopefully that's personal for you as well today. It's good to be at Metropolitan Baptist Church, be here with my brothers and sisters in Christ and our friends, and we're grateful to have you with us today. If you're visiting at Metropolitan, trust that what goes on here today will be a blessing in your life, both spiritually and even just the opportunity to be where God is worshiped and His name lifted up. Got a lot of good things going on. We surely enjoyed the being able to serve, fellas, at the ladies' banquet the other night. Seemed like the ladies had a good time. A lot of beautiful ladies with beautiful tables that they decorated and got all together, and a great meal as well. Thankful for all those who labored from beginning to end to make that possible. This evening we're having baptism. You want to be in your place for that as well. So be mindful of these things. We're grateful to have folks to baptize. Indeed, Jesus is doing that wonderful work of salvation. What we want to do right now is just welcome each other. So please take a couple of minutes, shake some hands, make sure, church family, you welcome our visitors with us today.
Thank you.
right, as you make your way back to your seats, let's turn to page 264. 264. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages sung. Let's sing.
'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though my sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee.
On the third.
'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though my sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee.
You may be seated.
Purify my new.
Please stand with us once more and turn to 403. 403. We were talking in Sunday school class about being believable and about singing a song and showing that you believe it. So smile as you sing. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, okay? Amen. Sing it with me. Let me get to the right page first. That's the right song. Here we go.
There will never be a sweeter story, story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me.
On the chorus, don't forget that. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, okay? Can you do that? It's okay. I know you're Baptist, but it's all right. You can shout a little bit. On that last verse,
love beyond our human comprehending, love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending, great redeeming love of Calvary. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me.
I don't know if I heard the O. Did y'all do the O? Oh. Did you? Let's do it one more time just to make sure. Let's sing the last verse one more time and make sure we sing, oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, okay? Can we do that?
Love beyond our human comprehending, love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending, great redeeming love of Calvary. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me.
Amen. You may be seated.
Oh, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, somebody is awake. And gentlemen, if you go ahead and take your place, we get ready to receive this morning's offering. Go for a few announcements here. Ladies' brunch is tomorrow over at Cracker Barrel on 35. We've got visitation this Thursday. Folks, if y'all want to pick me up, come out, visitation. We'll pair you up with somebody if you're not paired up with somebody. And we'll send you somewhere, and before you get back, almost guaranteed you'll come back in a better mood when you left. And if you left in a good mood, guess what? The Lord's going to bless you. And you'll just try it. That's all I'm asking. Just come by and try it. Starting on here we go. Sometimes I get before my reading here. This Saturday, we have a very, very important day coming up. Saturday evening, 6 o'clock, we're going to meet up here for a prayer meeting. Say, what's prayer meeting about? Prayer meeting is about this thing that we have, the insert that we have in the bulletin, okay? We are getting ready to have a God's power for God's people for revival. Folks, let's get up here and pray for that, okay? And this is not the job for Brother Wayne, okay? It's not the job for the preacher. This is our job. Let's get up here and pray for this revival, okay? Please be in place for that. The Lady's Secret Sister is going to be revealed on May 19th, and the men have a canoe trip on the 20th and 23rd. And May 31st, well, we just got a lot going on May 31st. We have Fifth Sunday, and we're going to have a TTU graduation. Then afterwards, we're going to have a softball game. We got a lot going on. So we still need a prayer warrior, too, Mr. Erna. Did we have any more volunteers for prayer warriors? Brother Bob, we still need some more? Okay, thank you very much. All right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Lord, right now, to ask him to be the offering about to receive, be the gift and the giver. Lord, please, Lord, empty our hearts, Lord. We can receive what you want us to have from the preacher. Lord, give him the words you want us to say. I ask these things in your name. Amen.
Green's my favorite color.
His heart was broken, mine was mended.
He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden.
The nails that held him set me free.
His life for mine. His life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine. His scars of suffering brought me healing. He spilled his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold.
His life for mine. His life for mine.
How could it ever be that he would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine. He was despised and rejected, stripped of his garment and oppressed. I am loved and accepted, and I wear a robe of righteousness. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be
would die, God's Son would die, to save a wretch like me. What love divine, He gave His life for mine, for mine.
Oh, Father, thank you for Jesus today. Thank you for this one who is willing to give his life for mine, for us. Oh, God, I don't know what will take place in this service today. I plead with you in Jesus' name. To be even one here this morning that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, doesn't have that confidence that they've received that precious, precious gift of love divine. Well, please, please get past the preacher. Get past whatever way the wicked one might want to hinder your word today. Ask you, Father, in that name, that precious, beautiful name, the name of Jesus, that you would deliver, save, give life today. We love you, Lord. We love you and we thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll be turning this morning to Mark chapter 5. Thank you, men. Thank you for all the music this morning. It certainly was a special blessing to my heart today. And Mark, Gospel Mark, chapter 5. If you found your place there, please stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. Begin reading in verse 25. The passage is kind of encapsulated in a greater context in this passage. One of the leaders of the synagogue have come to Jesus for his help, healing for his daughter. Is interestingly 12 years old, and she's dying. As they make their way to that home, the home of Jairus, we pick up in verse 25 where it says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years." Isn't it interesting that that young lady had brought joy, blessing to the home of her parents for 12 years. And here this dear lady had been suffering for 12 years. Verse 26, "And had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she'd heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came, fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. and be whole of thy plague. And Father, would you add your blessing even to the reading of your word and accomplish all and everything you'd order today in Jesus' name. Amen. And of course, you may be seated. I asked this question expecting that most everyone here could give the answer in the affirmative. In the affirmative, I mean. Have you ever had a desperate need? A desperate need of some sort, a situation that needed serious attention. It's not often, hopefully, that we find ourselves in such a circumstance, but each of us will experience times in our lives when we are indeed desperate. Desperate to find answers. Desperate to have that pressing need met. Our desperation may be the result of a number of things. Could be a financial need in a person's life. Could be due to some emotional trauma that they've experienced. Or as in the case of this dear lady, a physical ailment that God has permitted into their life. Desperation is a powerful motivating factor in a person's life. A starving man will do things that he would not have dreamed of doing if his stomach wasn't desperately longing for food. A parent may well act in a desperate way to meet the need of a child. The word desperate, according to the dictionary, means to be reckless because of despair. Isn't that interesting? Desperate, to be reckless because of despair, hopelessness, or urgency. Urgency. Think for a moment about what might you, Think about what might make you behave recklessly in some manner. Have you ever had a need in your life or maybe a loved one's life that would cause you to behave recklessly in some way? Well, we have before us today in this passage a lady who is desperate. She's desperate for help. She's at that place in her life that she is desperate to find an answer for her need. And we see this woman's bleak condition in verses 25 and 26 of our passage. It says, as the Lord Jesus Christ was making his way to the household of Jairus, it says, a certain woman, a specific woman. This isn't a parable. It's talking about an actual lady that was experiencing this distress. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Well, we see here the description of the woman's condition. And in some sort, some fashion, there was a hemorrhaging of blood. This dear lady had what the Word of God calls a issue of blood or a flow of blood. From the descriptions we have in scriptures, it's impossible for us to know exactly what was going on, but it seems it had something to do with her reproductive system. But we have no way of knowing for sure. But this much is certain. This much we do know. She would have been considered unclean. Anyone that had a flow of blood in such a manner would have been considered unclean. And a woman suffering from any condition that resulted in this flow of blood would come under the restrictions of the Levitical law, the law of Moses. Those things laid out there in these cases. She would be required to be separated and literally be declared unclean by the priest until that flow of blood had been stopped. Like the case of leprosy, this was for good reason. It was to seek to to limit the blood-borne diseases of the day. And so these things were put in place even by divine wisdom. Now we, unfortunately, don't have that simple good sense in our day. You say, what do you mean? Well, an example might be how we handled the Ebola crisis, or even in years gone by, the situation with those that had to deal with AIDS. We were told by the powers that be that don't worry about it. Don't worry about something that might kill you. Don't worry about such things. No problem. Well, we see this dear lady had a dozen years of suffering. She had endured this infirmity for 12 long years. She had lived as an outcast. All that knew her, everyone that knew her, whether it be family or friends, and knew about her condition, would be required to avoid her. So we understand that not only the physical suffering that went with this, but the emotional suffering that this dear lady dealt with. You see, if they touched her, family or friend touched her, they too would be declared unclean and have to complete the requirements of the law of Moses to be made clean again. So 12 years she had suffered a continual bleeding. Her body must have been severely weakened. Her constitution would have been devastated by this condition. Can you imagine, on top of all this, how discouraged and how depressed this dear lady would have been? She would have been physically and emotionally at an end, at a total loss. 12 years without relief from her suffering, her condition. Well, then we also see the development of the condition. She looked for help everywhere. She looked everywhere for help. She not only suffered from the disease, she suffered from the cures that the doctors had prescribed for her. As it said in verse 26, she suffered many things of many physicians. She exhausted all the known avenues of the day in an attempt to find a cure for her disease. She had been to all kinds of doctors and had them diagnose or prescribed numerous cures for her situation. Just out of curiosity, I looked up what might be the cures that they would prescribe for this dear lady. Number one, drink a goblet of wine containing a powder compounded from rubber, alum, and garden crocuses. I'm sure that'd cure anything. Hopefully you'd feel a little better with some wine. Cure number two, take a dose of Persian onions cooked in wine, administered with the vocal declaration, arise out of your flow of blood. I'm sure that was the kicker. Cure three, other doctors prescribed sudden shock. I read a little bit more about this. What the idea was that someone had to follow this person around, and when they were least expecting it, you were supposed to jump up and scare her. If I'm a lion, I'm a dying. They prescribed sudden shock or the carrying of an ash in an ostrich egg. The ashes of an ostrich egg in a specially prepared cloth. Now, you out there that are dealing with doctors, you thought you had endured some things. Hopefully it'll make you feel a little bit better. When we see the serious exhausting of this lady's resources, she'd been to every doctor she could find, expended all of her resources, everything she had. She had run out of resources and hope. Desperation of this woman's condition. What's it say at the end of verse 26, but rather grew worse. Every day, every week, every month, she was getting sicker and weaker and worse. So we see then the desperation of this lady's condition. The desperation of her condition. In spite of everything every doctor in town had prescribed, spending all of her money, she was getting worse. None of the prevailing wisdom of the world could help her in the least. Her situation, though desperate, was growing more desperate. What could she do? She was a social outcast, and now she was a very poor social outcast. All of her ability, all of her resources were gone. She, understandably, was desperate for help. But hallelujah, we also see here her bountiful cure. In verse 27, it says, "And when she'd heard of Jesus," aren't those beautiful words? "When she heard of Jesus." Keep thinking about that song, forgive me. "When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." Now, it's kind of important that we understand what her reasoning was. You see, somehow along the way, she had heard about Jesus. She'd heard of this prophet who seemed to be able to cure whatever needs were presented to him. She had heard about the miraculous healing of those who sought him out. But would he see her? Would he be willing to lay his clean, righteous, holy hands on someone who was unclean? It seems, from what we read here, that she did not think he would. The need of getting to the cure. She was afraid to confront Jesus and openly ask him to cure her. But she believed if she just touched his clothes, if she could just touch his garment, she could be healed. It's interesting. Why did she believe that? Why would she believe that if she just touched his clothes, she could be healed? Now be mindful. By the law of Moses, if we can try to explain this, by the law of Moses, anyone who touched her would be declared unclean. Even if they touched her garments, her uncleanness made her garments unclean. So if anyone even so much as touched her garment, her clothes, they would be declared unclean. You'd say, why was all that? Well, again, we're going back to the law of Moses, the wisdom of God in this thing, and trying to protect his people from the spread of disease. But that didn't help her situation. She believed, listen, she believed that if she could but touch the garment of this righteous man, Jesus, she could be made clean. Follow her reasoning. Why were her garments unclean? Because she was unclean. Why would she get the idea that the garments of Jesus could help her? Because of who and what he is. Because of his cleanness, if I can use it that way. We understand he was God. We understand he is absolutely holy, absolutely righteous. And in that, perfectly clean. His garments, in her mind, would be made clean by him. And just as someone touching her garment could be made unclean, she believed that if I can but touch his garment, I can be made clean. Hopefully we follow her. Now again, within all that, we can say, well, that was kind of superstitious of her, wasn't it? Well, maybe so. But along with that, along with this mixture of her faith, there was a desperateness to get to Jesus. And what do we read? We see the simple reception of the cure. Verse 28, she says, if I may touch his garments, I shall be made whole. Straightway, verse 29, the idea of that word just means immediately. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She knew immediately. When she touched but his garment, the hem of his clothes, that she was healed, made whole, just as she had so desperately desired. You see, beloved, her faith was rewarded. She had put her faith in the right place. Even though maybe her faith wasn't exactly what we might think it ought to be, her faith was in the right place. Her faith was in the one that could indeed make her whole, could indeed cure and meet her desperate need. We read on here in verse 30. And Jesus, immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? What did he say? Who touched my clothes? It's astounding. Her faith is rewarded. Her faith is recognized indeed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I like to picture things, maybe put myself, imagine, you know, on the scene. And this dear lady pressing, it was a risk. She was taking a risk. What would have happened if the crowd would have recognized her? Hey, that's so-and-so. Notice she's anonymous. That's so-and-so. She's unclean. And suddenly now the mob is after her. She took the chance. She took the risk, if I could say. Made her way, pressed through the crowd to just get to the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. She touched and she's made whole. Jesus. Now again, how I could brush past your clothing. I could touch the hem of your garment. You'd never notice it, would you? Jesus noticed it. Why? Because he sensed, he knew what had happened. As this lady touched his, in faith, touched his garment, what happened? He says, virtue had gone out of him. Beloved, that word virtue there is that common word that we've been looking at since January. The Greek word dunamis. And what's it mean? Power. He sensed that there was power that had gone from him to this lady. What's he say? Who touched my clothes? The disciples are around him. They're traveling through the city. And this is Turner paraphrase, okay? Turner paraphrase. It's not King James. What do you mean, who touched you? Don't you see the crowd, Jesus? Look at all the people. There's a lot of people touching you. Everybody's brushing up against you. There's different ones wanting to touch Jesus. But there was one person in the crowd that day that knew exactly what the Lord Jesus was talking about. And what's it say? She, fearful and trembling, made her way to him and fell at his feet and gave him the whole story. Aren't you thankful? Hey, you could be in a room with whatever there is here today, and God speak to your heart individually. Right here in this room, God could be doing something for you today. Huh? Hey, you could be in a crowd somewhere. God can do for you just that reaching out to Him in desperation. I need you, Jesus. I need you. I need you. Her faith was rewarded. Her faith was recognized. Notice, can you imagine it? There's this crowd lumbering through the city. Jesus is walking through town. Everybody wants to be around Jesus. And then suddenly, what happens? I mean, forgive me, my mind works in stupid, weird, or different ways. He's walking along. The lady touches his garment, and what happens? He stops in his tracks. Can you imagine what was going on in the crowd? I mean, I can just, everybody's bumping into each other. And on top of that, Jesus asks, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? I just love him. I love him. Her faith is recognized, beloved. But as we look at this today, we see a beautiful picture here. The woman's beautiful picture. This lady's condition is a tremendous picture of the condition of the lost person. We've seen her bleak condition, but it's a picture of the sinner's bleak condition. When I use that word sinner, I use it just as the Bible gives it. You know, someone said to me one time, he says, preacher, you shouldn't call folks sinners when you're preaching. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but that's what God calls us before we're saved. And besides that, I'm saved today, but I'm still a sinner saved by grace. I'm still battling this thing called sin. We see the sinner's bleak condition. You know, there's no human cure. There's no human cure for the sinner's bleak condition. He'll try anything. He'll try anything to achieve salvation. He'll do anything that he can find within his ability and resources to find a cure for his sin. He'll look to religion. He'll look to this church or to some preacher to deliver him. He'll follow any prescribed works that someone may lay out for him. This will help. Sometimes as silly as even those cures we read of earlier. But there's no cure to be found in man. There's no cure to be found in man. There's no human cure and there's no human help for the sinner. But just like this woman, he has no ability to help himself. There is no man-made solution for sin. No religion, no works. Hey, we're going to baptize tonight. Those folks being baptized this evening are coming as saved children of God to identify with the one who saved them completely and washed them in his blood. No, there's nothing that we can do through religion or ceremony to deal with this sin problem. So we see the description of the sinner's condition. We ought to also see the desperation of his condition. It's sad. It is sad that the lost man is normally satisfied to remain in his sin. He's satisfied to continue and go on and even die of its consequences. But beloved, it's unnecessary. It is unnecessary to die under the consequences of the disease of sin. Hallelujah. There is a physician, capital P, that has a cure for the sinner's condition. The divine physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, has provided the cure for the worst of man's diseases, the disease of sin. Yes, hey, it might not be popular in some places to talk about sin, but as long as I find it in that there Bible, I'm going to keep preaching sin and my need for my sin to be cleansed. Don't you give 2 seconds to these preachers that want to somehow minimize man's condition. Huh? They're preaching a false gospel. They're liars and deceivers. Sending folks, hey, they're sending folks to a hopeless hell. Desperation of his condition. It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary for man to die due to sin's disease. We need to understand. God's word says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. In Hebrews chapter 9, it says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There is a judgment. And it is certain that every one of us will die. Will we die in our sin, or we will die, forgive me for saying it this way, with the cure, Christ Jesus. The only hope for lost man, now listen, the only hope for someone lost in their sin is to abandon human wisdom. To give up on the world and its answers. Beloved, if you're here today without Christ, please understand your days are numbered by the Lord. You do not know that today may indeed be your last. You don't know. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. How many would try to put off? How many along the way have said, well, someday, I'll be older someday, and maybe then I'll get saved. Maybe then I'll receive Christ. But as we've said before, I have no guarantee of that I'll live to sundown. What is the guarantee? You say, well, preacher, you look pretty healthy. Well, looks are deceiving, aren't they? Huh? We have no guarantee of tomorrow. And people are toying with their eternal destinies. I can't tell you, sadly, how many folks have told me along these last 40 years, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Maybe later. I'm not ready today. Well, my question to them has begun to be, all right, then are you ready to spend eternity in hell? If you're not ready to have a new life in Christ, are you ready to spend the rest of eternity with Satan and his cohorts in hell? I dare say you're not ready for that either. I want to close with this, though. The blessed condition of the believer. The believer's blessed condition. What did the Lord Jesus tell that woman healed of her awful disease? He says, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Be whole of thy plague. What's Jesus' invitation to you and I as those that are still in our sin outside of Christ? What's he say? Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. What's he say? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Huh? Why? Why would we put off? Why would we wait to another time to deal with the most important decision in a person's life? The most important thing that you will ever do in all the years that you walk this earth planet will be to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Redeemer. We're so blessed. I'm so blessed. If you're saved, you're so blessed. Those that are saved are in that blessed condition in Christ. Paul tells us that we have all spiritual blessings in Him. And I'm asking you, believer, don't take those blessings for granted. You know, you probably know by now I'm kind of an emotional wreck. And it's, you know, the song this morning just put me... But I'm glad. I'm thankful I'm still that away. Amen. I know that's bad grammar. Forgive me. I'm glad I'm still like that. Amen. I don't want to get old crusted up where something can't touch my heart. I don't want to get to the place that when somebody's glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ for what He's done for us, that I can't leak a little bit. Huh? If I can't... Hey, I'm thankful the Rangers finally won a game last night. Good grief. But I'm not about to cry about it. Huh? I've been close to after this. Oh, I never want to go there. You know, there's a lot of things we're happy about, we're grateful for. But beloved, what can we be more grateful about than that we've been saved from our sin? Amen. That which would consign us to an eternity of damnation. What is more important? What on this earth planet is more important than being saved? I dare say you can't answer me a thing. Huh? We're thankful for our health. Thankful for our families. Praise God for 12 grandbabies. Huh? I love my daughters. I love my family. I got a beautiful wife that puts up with me for the last 43 years. Who wouldn't be thankful for that? Huh? But I'm here to tell you there's nothing in this life that's more important to me than my salvation. To know that I'm saved. Amen. That I have been forgiven. Forgiveness. Isn't that word free? I know I've said this before, but I love that word. Yes. To be forgiven. Someone that knows they're guilty, someone that knows they're wrong, cherishes being forgiven. Huh? Thank God for. Are we blessed? Yes. If you're saved, dear one, you're so blessed. You know, we bow our heads to pray, Marcia and I, every morning. And you know, we don't even begin to comprehend how God takes care of us and blesses us every single day. We have no clue what He does along the way to protect us, to provide for us, to do for us in a myriad of ways. And if we're not careful, now listen, this is, if we're not careful, as those who may have one day been like this dear lady we've read about, We understood how desperate we were. Understood what a bad situation we were in. And we got to Jesus. And He saved us. And then down the way, we forget that day. We rejoice. Hey, oh, I'm saved. Huh? I'm saved. I love the Lord. But it's not the same, is it? I'm praying, Lord, please do something in my heart that'll be as precious to me today as it was 40 years ago. Huh? Because I believe, and I might be wrong, but I believe with all my heart that if it's as precious to me today as it was then, it's going to impact my life. It's going to impact how I live around these young people. It's going to impact how I pastor this church. It's going to impact how I walk with this dear lady. It's going to impact everything. If Jesus is as precious to me today as He was that night in December in 1974, you see, that's what desperation does to us. Lord, help us to not take that for granted. Dear one, if you're here today and you're not saved, I certainly don't know your heart. I don't know where you're at today. But I just want to say this. He's a wonderful Savior to me. He's a wonderful Savior. And you'll deal with troubles and battles in life. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, it's so different. Because that hope, that joy, that relief of that desperation is so precious and so good. Regardless of what this world throws at you after that, it's all good in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together, church. Father, we bow before You. Lord, I thank You for Your word today. Thank You again. Speaking to my heart. And I just pray, Father. Pray for every believer in this room that we just fall in love with Jesus all over again. With every new day, every morning, might our love for You just blossom and flower all the more. Lord, I pray, I don't know what might be the situation in hearts in this room. Father, there's a pretty good crowd here today, and it may be that there's folks sitting in these chairs today that aren't saved. If they's honest with You and with themselves, they'd have to admit that they don't know where they would spend eternity. Father, I just plead with You. We understand that it's beyond what this preacher or any preacher can do. Beyond, Father, what a church can do. But Lord, I know it's not beyond You. Please, Lord, give them the liberty right now, this very moment, to seek You. That they right now might call to You, Jesus, save me. I need You. Forgive me of my sin that I might live for Your glory. Father, please, please. I can't pray for them. I can't save them. Lord, give them the liberty to call out to You. And Lord, what You do, we will give You the glory. give you the honor, give you the praise for what you would do even now. Thank you for Jesus' power to heal the desperate. In His name, for His glory we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 353.
As we sing, church, please obey the Lord. Please do what the Lord would have you to do. Obey Him. Church member, don't be afraid to allow the Lord to touch your heart. And if you're here visiting with us, I pray that the Word of God would speak to you as well. And listen to the Lord. Obey Him. I wouldn't begin to guess what He might be saying to you to do. Just obey Him. Don't let anything get in your way. If you need Christ, we're here to point you where you can receive Him. Let's sing.
While we pray and while we plead, while you see your soul's deep need, while our Father calls you home, will you not, my brother, come? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? You have wandered far away. Do not risk another day. Do not turn from God thy face, but today accept His grace. Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? In the world you fail to find aught of peace for troubled mind. Come to Christ, on Him believe, peace and joy you shall receive. Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Come to Christ, confession make. Come to Christ and pardon take. Trust in Him from day to day. He will keep you all the way. Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? While we pray and while we plead, while you see your soul's deep need, while our Father calls you home, will you not, my brother, come? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? You have wandered far away. Do not risk another day. Do not turn from God thy face, but today accept his grace. Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?
You know, don't say this too often, but once in a while I think it bears repeating. I know this church family prays for folks to be saved, our desire that folks might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that that's the number one reason God's left us here. We might continue to preach the gospel and be a people that are living for the glory of God, that this world might see what a Christian is. God grant it. God grant it that your life, my life, might make folks desire and hunger for what you have. Think about that, please. Think about that. That folks would want what we have. It means we've got to be showing it, right? It's got to be seen. Why not now, huh? Well, amen. Thankful for what God did in our hearts, if you're saved. Might we live lives, of appreciation. Amen. Well, remember baptism this evening. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to just celebrating with these young folks that have been saved recently and fallen on the Lord in believer's baptism. It's good. Amen. Brother John, come, lead us in a chorus.
The new chorus for this month is In the Service of the King. It's in your bulletins if you need the words, or page 397. On the first verse, I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. I have peace and joy that nothing else can bring. In the service of the King. In the service of the King. Every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. You're dismissed.